Our text is the 2 Corinthians passage. I read several verses. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I suppose to say that the Corinthian church had problems would be akin when someone tells you that hamartia means missing the mark. It's just been said so many times that it hardly has to be said again. And yet, it may be helpful, though simplistic, to identify two of the outstanding currents of disturbances which were affecting this Corinthian church. One of the problems that Paul faced were with those who insisted upon staying with the old way of doing things, even when the truth or the circumstances demanded change. Such things as circumcision, the old liturgy, and dietary restrictions were insisted upon at the expense of confusing the gospel. The other problem that Paul faced was with those who wanted extreme novelty and change to the point of chaos. Their worship was disorderly, and their doctrine of the pastoral office was anti-clerical. And any one of these trends could tear up any congregation. And Paul not only had both of them to deal with, but he had the added problem that the one thing that the church seemed to be unified about was their distrust of his motives and their doubt about the validity of his apostolic authority. I suppose a question may arise, what would we do if we were pastors of that congregation? Perhaps start praying for a call. Or maybe take it personally and become defensive about the whole thing. But I think in this text, the Holy Spirit puts before us a third way of dealing with a church which is in trouble. And if you'll forgive a little pedantry, I think it pivots upon the understanding of the word parakaleo, which is used 10 times in just these 9 verses. It's oftentimes translated to exhort or to comfort someone. And it literally means to do this from alongside that person. Implicit in this single word is Paul's message that he proclaimed to that troubled congregation and the method that he employed in dealing with them. So to restate the problem, the Judaizers and the Charismatics, though they appeared to be different on the surface, they came out at exactly the same place and in confusing the gospel. They were teaching a conditional gospel. And this gospel set up some arbitrary standard of success or achievement. And it set that up as the mark of the true Christian and the condition of God's love and acceptance. It didn't matter if it was circumcision or if it was speaking in tongues, it came out at the same place. And I think in Galatians, Paul drove home the silliness of such an argument for a conditional gospel, where the argument goes something like this: if God accepts a person more if he's been circumcised, to just think how great God's acceptance would be to the person who mutilated himself all the way. The real problem is in the way that the conditional gospel affects people. There will be one of two results. Either a person will end up a hypocrite and point to these achievements that he has, which are sure signs of God's grace towards him, or worse yet, to the sensitive person, the conditional gospel will drive that person to despair. Because no matter how many marks that he marks up for himself, no matter how many religious experiences that he has for himself, the sinful nature is still present in anger, in selfishness, or any of the other innumerable manifestations of our disease. And it ends up that there is no assurance that God is for us. And the Corinthian church had all the signals that the gospel had been completely confused, from antinomianism all the way to those who doubted the historical veracity of the resurrection of Christ. And Paul's message to that church went right to the root of the problem. God is a God of mercy and of comfort, and this was made manifest in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God had been misrepresented by the proclaimers of the conditional gospel. He was not standing behind them, driving them like cattle towards some goal of outward perfection. Nor was the true gospel ever to be a license for someone to lord his position over somebody else because he had attained or he had succeeded. The gospel that Paul proclaimed to that Corinthian church was that Christ took the form of sinful human beings to live beside us. Christ's exhortation is not from behind us, nor is it from above us. The message of comfort is the message of the incarnation that Christ, our high priest, did not stay in the heavens. Rather, he came to live alongside of us sinful people, that he recognized the weakness of our sinful flesh, and so that we who are weak in all confidence can come to him. Not only did Christ come merely to live alongside of man, Paul proclaimed that because of our weaknesses, he stood in our place, bearing the whole load of our sin all the way to its absurd conclusion, which is alienation from God, and which is by definition death. Paul's message is that God is alongside of us in the incarnation, that God is for us in the forensic atonement, and God is in us through the Holy Spirit witnessing to Christ's work. That was his message. His method flowed consistently from that unconditional gospel. In this account, we see that Paul took the time to recount how God had worked in his own life, especially in his weaknesses. We know that Paul said that the pressure of the concern for the churches was a burden that weighed down upon him. We also know that the sinful flesh constantly, that Paul was warring against, constantly wore at him. And there was also the physical persecutions and the calamities, and it was all piled up on top of him. And so that he says that he was ready to despair of life. He was willing to accept the verdict of death. He despaired of life, but his God was the God of the resurrection. It was the God who established this once and for all in the resurrection of Christ on Easter. It was the same God who on that Damascus road resurrected a spiritually dead Paul. And now as he dealt with this Corinthian congregation, which looked to be as if it was dying, the message that Paul had for them was one of hope. It was one of hope because the God of the resurrection could raise even that congregation, even in the teeth of death. And because of this hope, Paul's method of dealing with those people was with patient endurance. He would be their advocate, just as Christ had been his advocate, unconditionally, even in his weakness. This is not to say that Paul did not make things a little hot and uncomfortable for the Corinthian congregation. A reading of the rest of the book will show that he had pointed attacks towards their serious problems. But before he attacked them, he made sure that they knew he was on their side. That he was there to exhort them, to encourage them, and to comfort them with the same comfort that he had received. They were weak. They already had the odds stacked against them. And what they needed was their pastor to be with them unconditionally. And Paul stood in the gap between where that church was and what it was destined for with the message of comfort and of hope, which is the message of Christ crucified. And by way of application with the call service only 20 days away and the vicarage service also coming up, I think there are two pertinent points worth mentioning. The first one has to do with our own concern and what we will do when we face a congregation which is in trouble. I don't think any of us are exempt from the temptation to want to run from it or to become defensive about it and to take it personally and then to let them have it with the full force of condemnation. But I think we can do well to learn from the way that Paul, first of all, recounted how the Lord worked in his own life, even in his weakest times. I think if we recount, we can say, for example, recount the fact that we've been given 4 years of the advantage of seminary. I know it's always not always looked at as an advantage, but in this time, we've had the time to get things straightened out. We've been able to become strengthened in places where we are weak. Our Lord and other people have been extremely patient with us here. And I think we need to be praying that our Lord would grant us the patience of Paul in dealing with others in the same way. But more importantly than the method, I think, is the message. And the message that Paul said was first directed to him. He first was comforted by it. And then he took that comfort to the Corinthians. Even Paul despaired under the weight of the ministry. But at precisely the right time, God worked through his weakness. And Paul said, because of God's faithfulness, no matter how bleak the horizon looked, in the God of the resurrection, there was and there is always hope. The message of comfort does not end with Good Friday. In Easter, God finishes telling us who he is and what we can expect of him because he is on our side for Christ's sake, unconditionally, even in our weaknesses. This is the comfort that we receive as pastors and future pastors, and the comfort which we are able to take to Christ's people.